We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's Thursday, August 11th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We've done it, guys. Matt Ford is back on the show. The first time since the NFL mock draft show, I believe, buddy, since near the end of April. But if Matt is on the show, guys, that is because gambling has arrived. And it has arrived in a big way. It is time to start previewing the NFL season via the futures, the wager market, gambling. We were going to go through all of the divisions in the NFL. We're going to go through two in episodes. We're going to get you going once a week with this type of show, heading up until the start of the season. And by that time, we'll have you hopefully some winning wagers. And then we will do as we do every week. We'll gamble on football. We'll give you guys our picks. Matt, how you doing, buddy? We made a lot of money last year. We bet 10,000. We won 4,000. So we, you know, got back 14,000, buddy. I'm ready to do this again.
Let's do it, Jeff. It's so good to be back. It's so good to be talking football. We've got producer Hank back in the mix. And the sound of my voice, do you hear this sound?
You're pulling out hundreds there, buddy.
That's the sound of my $4 or $5 bills in my wallet rubbing together because we're here to make you money. And no better way to come back on the show, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So this is the way this is going to work. Same thing we did last year. And again, we spent $10,000 over the four episodes. We ended up plus 4,700 last year. Would have been more if Dak Prescott hit comeback player of the year. Would have been more, you know, had Tom Brady won MVP, but you know, both things didn't happen. We were waiting for those to maybe hit or maybe not at that time. Just didn't happen, but we still won money, which we'll take. So the way this is going to work is we're going to do, like I said, two divisions per episode. We're starting with the NFC and AFC East this week. We have $1,000 per division. We can make as many wagers as we want. We have to agree on the amount and well, anything. And win totals, make the playoffs, not make the playoffs, player props. And then we have $2,000 left over to spend however we want it. Again, $8,000 for divisions. We're spending two today. And then leftover last year, we threw that money on many different things. And it's a good way to get ready for the season. Just a general idea of where teams' win expectations are, some of the prop numbers. Matt thrives in the situation, especially with some of the player prop numbers. It's not my forte. Matt is ready to go with those. And without further ado, Matt, should we start with our favorite wager? each and every season, the New York Giants and Saquon Barkley under rushing yards. Should we start there, buddy?
I actually like the touchdowns more this year, but I'll go under on anything. I mean, why don't we just start in the NFC East and we could do the Giants and maybe just start there.
Okay, let's start with the NFC East and let's do the Giants first. I'm not even sure we're following exactly the order that's on this sheet. Doesn't matter to me. I want to go because this is one we joke about this all year, Matt. The Saquon Barkley under. We've done it three straight years. Three straight years. His first year at 1,300 yards. He did really well his first year. And then things kind of fell apart. We've taken the under each of the past three seasons. It has been very profitable for us. So with the Giants, are we going with, to start with the Saquon Barkley, under 900.5 rushing yards?
It doesn't feel that. It's low. It's really low. I like better. I mean, we're fading Saquon no matter what. DraftKings actually doesn't have a number. A few books do. We're not sponsored, by the way, so if you're out of a sports book, sponsor this podcast. One number I did find was 7.5 touchdowns, and that feels like the easiest under of all time. Are we sure the Giants are going to score 7.5 touchdowns all season? Like, that feels like a pretty much a slam dunk under.
He's had eight touchdowns the last 3 years. Now, he didn't play in 2020 very much, only two games, but you know, those were limited in those contests. In the last year, he played in 13 games, had two touchdowns. The 2019 in 13 games, again at six touchdowns. This is 7.5 rushing touchdowns, right?
Rushing touchdowns only.
This does not count just overall touchdowns because, you know, I think there's a possibility in this offense. Remember, Brian Daboll came over from Buffalo. In this offense, you know, there's a possibility that there's a lot of passing touchdowns just a result of what this team kind of wants to be. I will caution everyone on some of Saquon stuff. I think their offensive line this year is much better in New York. You look what Evan Neal's done so far in training. There's been a lot of like, look at Saquon Barkley highlights, and I just see the Giants' offensive line doing really good things. But last year in Buffalo, right, Devin Singletary last year had 7 rushing touchdowns. That was the high for Buffalo last year. Zach Moss had 4. Matt Breida had 1. Isaiah McKenzie had 1. Then Josh Allen had a couple sprinkled in there. So this is not an offense that really utilizes the back in that area. Now, they don't have Josh Allen, obviously. They have Daniel Jones. But if you want to go touchdowns here, Matt, I am perfectly okay starting off with a Saquon Barkley under touchdown prop. How much would you like to wager on that, sir?
Before we lock it in, there is a combined over and under for receiving and rushing yards combined. That's at 1,300, and that feels pretty high. I don't like to bet on a guy to get injured, but like that's essentially what we're doing with Barkley in the past, is like the guy just falls apart and everyone loves him. Yeah. But I think, you know, 1,300 yards total could be the way to play the yardage. I think he could play a full season, have a good season, and still hit that under in 7.5 touchdowns.
Yeah, so his rookie season, he had over 2,000 all-purpose yards. The next year, he had 1,400. My only concern about this, though, is why I think I'm staying away from the – is I feel like he can get a lot of easy check-down yardage.
Yeah.
And in blowout games, that does worry me about taking that. Where the rushing touchdowns, if they're not going to be very, very good, they won't be in a situation to get a lot of those anyways. And they're going to be passing from behind a bunch. I like the rushing touchdowns just better than maybe anything else.
All right. So let's lock that in and then we can come back to maybe the math when we get through this thing, if that works for you. Do you want to just stick on the Giants in general?
Yes. Yeah. Let's do that first.
So their over under is 7. What if you had to pick a side, where would you go?
I go under, but I feel like that's a good number for them. I don't feel like there's much of a kind of a side either way that I feel comfortable doing. I think that Daniel Jones is going to struggle. That's just kind of, you know, what he's been throughout his career. I don't know why it would change very much. And I just don't think this team right now is ready to compete at a high level. I think soon they can be. They're starting to build back up the roster. But I just I'm not a Daniel Jones believer, and I think that 7's about right. So I would not touch that one. Put it like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very respectful number for Brian Daboll. You know, the Giants have won 7 games one time since 2013, and that's a long time ago. You were there in 14 and 15.
Won 6 games each. Yeah.
Yeah. The year after they won a bunch of games. I'm sure those that's a correlation causation question there. But anyways.
Definitely is, yes.
the Giants have been under their last 5 years. That's the longest active streak in the league. I agree that they're improved on the offensive line, but the problem is still going to be Dable, or I'm sorry, still going to be Daniel Jones. And even if their offensive line's improved, they're starting two rookies, right? So I just don't think that. Oh, and also, here's my favorite Giants stat. The Giants are the only team in the NFL to not even have 1 week where they're over 500 in the last 5 years. Like, they're to need some time to really improve. And everyone's just going to say, like, well, Brian Dable's going to come in and just fix everything. Like, this roster is screwed up. They have the most expensive wide receiver core in the league, and they still drafted a wide receiver in, what, second or third round. Like, even their strengths aren't strengths. So I would lean to the under here. I don't think that they're really even incentivized to be that good this year. Like, if Daniel Jones comes out kind of flat, then what incentive is there for them to, like, push through, run through the tape, and, like, get a better record, right? They need the picks. Next year is going to be a great quarterback class. So I think they're a pretty solid bet for the under.
Okay, let's mark down the under there in that spot, just to kind of make a note of that. Because I think that there's maybe one other Giants wager I think is pretty good.
Let's hear it.
I'm seeing a passing yardage number for Daniel Jones at 3650.5. 3,600 yards passing. 3650.5. He hasn't, in his career, his best season, he's had only 3,027 yards. That means he needs to increase that by 650 yards, essentially, to hit this number in this year. And I don't see that, Matt. I don't see that happening.
Huh. It's a pretty modest number. It's only like 215 yards a game. That's basically, will he play the whole season, is basically what that bet is, I think. But he could also get benched. And, you know, the guy has fumbled every single game of his career. It's very possible that he gets benched.
Yeah. I just don't know who he would be benched for. So let's put it out there. I think that's
Tyrod.
I guess, yeah. I mean, they have to find out what Jones has. If they bench him, they can't go back. You know what I mean? So I feel like if they do that, then that's kind of the end of Jones, which is certainly possible. So maybe we stay away from that one. They're also, as I mentioned with Saquon Barkley, there definitely could be a lot of just like late yardage, right? Like losing yardage, like a great fantasy guy, right? Just a bunch of late yardage late in the game, garbage yardage, yep, that helps you out, but doesn't really help you get cash wagers.
And he's a free agent this year, right? Like, isn't that right? Or is it next year?
He's a free agent after the season. Yes.
So like, it makes sense for all sides to run him into the ground. The Giants don't care, yes, if his career lasts, no, and Saquon's going to want a contract. So
no,
I could see him. That's sort of one of the reasons I'm a little nervous, but I still think the touchdowns thing is smart. Like, it's unlikely that he gets past that.
So let's keep Saquon in there at under 7.5 touchdowns. Let's keep the Giants for right now under 7 wins. And let's go to the Washington Commanders.
Oh, boy.
Your favorite football team, unfortunately.
Maybe.
And, Matt, I have a wager that is almost non-negotiable that we're going to do, and it's to not make the playoffs at minus 185. Look, guys, the report yesterday...
Get the fuck out of here.
The report yesterday... Matt, listen to me, buddy. Buddy, the report yesterday was that they're not overly concerned about Carson Wentz's inaccuracy in practice. And it's like, yeah, they're not, because that's who he is. He's fucking terrible. Man, he's like the 27th best quarterback in the NFL. And now you guys fired your D-line coach? Like, okay, Matt, are you telling me that the Eagles, Cowboys, and Commanders are making the playoffs this season? All three from that division? Because I think I feel strong the Eagles are going to make it. The Cowboys are going to make it in the NFC. That we're telling the Commanders with Carson Wentz are making the playoffs?
Okay, well, there's two separate arguments you're making here. The first is that the Commanders might suck. I'm not necessarily out on that argument. The idea of laying minus 185 that they're going to miss the playoffs is an asinine bet, and we both know it. You're trolling me, right?
Buddy, I laid minus 400 last year in Jacksonville to not make the playoffs, and I very much enjoyed cashing that ticket at the end of the season. Like, the juice to me is, like, what's the best case scenario? That they win, what, 10 games, 11 games? Like what? How do they get to that number?
Well,
Does someone have to get, like, how does it happen?
Here's how. Honestly, the first part of it is the NFC East could suck. That would not surprise me. We'll get to the Eagles in a second. I see them as a team going under their total.
Really?
But here's the thing. Like, I don't think Washington's good. Let me just get that out of the way. Having said that, when you picture their year last year, Would you say it was like a complete travesty, meltdown of a season? Like, I think if you asked most football fans what kind of season it was for Washington, they'd say a dumpster fire. They were 7-10, and that was with losing their quarterback in the first half of the first game. Like, they also lost Chase Young, who played like shit for most of the season. They lost their other pass rusher, Montez Sweat. They didn't have a number two receiver, and they played the AFC West, the Packers, the Bucks. They played, I mean, the Bills. Like, they had a brutal schedule last year, and this year they have a much easier schedule. And last year they went 7-10. So I think, like, their offensive line was banged up. Antonio Gibson was hurt all season.
They're still banged up in camp.
Yeah, they're still banged up. Their offensive line is still banged up in camp. But by the way, they were really good last year in terms of, like, how they were graded with a really bad quarterback. And their number two receiver was Adam Humphries last season. Like, they're going to be better. So I don't think that it's a stretch to say that their win total is going to improve. It's also the third year with Rivera. Like, the only problem with this team is, other than Carson Wentz, who stinks but is better than Heineke, the team is just it's just chaos all the time. It's just, like, not a team that you want to bet on to overcome all the adversity that they cause themselves. So,
why you take no playoffs.
No, but it's not worth laying it to me, because the rest of this division is I'm curious. I kind of assumed we'd do them last because you knew that we would have a really good conversation about them. But
I just went because they're just next up on the sheet. They're just next up on the sheet.
That's fair. I'm just not a buyer in Philly, and there's so many to me. Dallas is just like, one or two things could go wrong for Dallas and they're toast.
Well, certainly. I mean, you can make the same case that you just made for Dallas. Like, everything went kind of bad at certain points last year and they still won the division, right? Like, they still were a playoff team that had, you know, had a home playoff game. But let's get back to Washington real quick. So is there anything you like about Washington? Like, any of these wagers here? Like, I don't trust Wentz, so I can't really make, like, in my opinion, any wagers with most of their offense. Gibson's rushing number, I think, is interesting. They're probably going to want to run the football a lot this year just because of, you know, kind of just trying to make sure Wentz doesn't ruin the game for them. That feels like a way that we could, you know, play some sort of Washington wager.
I have one for you, the player prop for them. And it's like probably the most public one, but I do think this is kind of easy money. And that's Terry McLaurin over 1,500 receiving yards. So if you break that out, if he plays every game, that's 58 yards per game receiving. His career average is 67 yards per game. Last year, he got a third of the targets on the whole team. Now, granted, Curtis Samuel maybe will come back. I have serious doubts about that. I think this Jahan Dotson kid is going to be surprisingly good. But they're going to feed McLaurin the ball. They're paying him. He's had over 900 yards in each of his three seasons, where Alex Smith was by far his best quarterback. By far. I mean, if you look at who he's caught passes from Dwayne Haskins, the late Dwayne Haskins, so sad, from Colt McCoy to Taylor Heineke to Logan Thomas, the tight end. Like, he has caught passes from some weird guys. So if he got 17 games of Carson Wentz, he should easily go over 1,000 yards.
Okay, I'm good with playing that. That means I have to root for Carson Wentz.
No, just root for Terry.
Matt, you're putting me in a bad spot. Gibson, by the way, is 825 yards rushing, which doesn't sound like
really
a lot. Yeah, for him.
The concern there is that they just have this committee, but that feels a little bit too low. Like, they drafted a running back in the third round, I think. Like, but that still feels pretty,
I mean,
low.
He had 795 his first year and 10,000 last year. So the number's not that bad.
Yeah.
Kind of splits the difference there a little bit.
Yeah.
Always injury concerns with backs. I think taking a running back over is just in general kind of silly. So
yeah.
We'll stay away from that. Dotson rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, are just highly, just no, plus 2,000, not going to happen. Washington concedes the fewest points in the NFC East, plus 300. I think that's going to be that. We're going to have a big disagreement on Philly, by the way. So
good.
I think that's about right. I mean, there's a Wentz over 25.3 touchdowns with McLaurin over 72.5 receptions for plus 275. That's not bad.
It's not bad. I really do think Terry, if healthy, has a great season. So I'm on him. You know, if you want to combine him with something else, I'm into it.
No, that's fine. I'm in over there. I'm in with that. All right. Are the Eagles next on our sheet? Yes, they are. So let's go to the Eagles. Okay.
Sure.
Their win total is 9.5. I'm not comfortable with any wager, honestly, on the Eagles, but I think they're a really good football team. I just don't know if Jalen Hurts is the guy. And that always worries me when it comes to whether or not a team is going to be good. But Matt, the things that are important to winning, they do really well. They're really good on the offensive defensive line, right? Like, they make it that a priority to be really good on those in those units. You know, Hurts does enough with his legs and his ability to make plays outside of the pocket that win them enough football games, right? And obviously they were a playoff team last year. And, you know, I doubted Nick Sirianni. I think a lot of us did. He obviously proved that he knows what he's doing. I just worry about much of because of Hurts. Like, if Hurts doesn't really get better, then yeah, the 9.5 wins is kind of maybe yes or no. But if he's like he was last year, a tad bit better, man, they're going to win 10 or 11 games.
Nick Sirianni, this is a little bit too intuitive for my kind of arguments, but let me just put it this way. Doesn't Nick Sirianni give you like Matt Nagy vibes or like Ben McAdoo vibes, where he came in the first year and everyone was like, this guy's going to be terrible. And then he was good. And then everyone was like, well, he must be awesome. And then the next year, Ben McAdoo got fired and Matt Nagy slid and then was ultimately fired probably like a year too late. I just could see that the Eagles had two seasons, right? Like, at the beginning of the season, they were trash because they made Jalen Hurts throw. And then at the end of the season, They were remarkably healthy on both sides of the line for an older team. And then they just ground people to death in the running game. And they ended up having a very, very easy schedule. They beat one winning team last year. And that was the Saints with Trevor Siemian at quarterback.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, we talked about that. Because we bet Tampa hard in that divisional round for this reason.
Yeah, because they just weren't good. Like, they, you know, every year it feels like it's always the NFC East. They get one team that sort of like sneaks into the playoffs because of a patty cake schedule. I will also say that the Eagles, since 2005, when their over is over 9.5, they haven't hit it other than once. So they're always projected to be pretty good, and they never hit it. When they're projected to be bad, they're always pretty good.
Interesting.
The other thing, this is from Warren Sharp, the Eagles have 4 road games on short weeks this year. The most in the league other than that is 1, or I think maybe 2. So that's like a real odd schedule quirk. I just think that the things line up. The other problem is, like, to say that they should be good, but we don't know about their quarterback means – we should pump the brakes on them being good. If there's a question mark at the most important position, I have a hard time saying, like, yes, this team is going to be good. So to me, I think they're under, they're juiced pretty hard to the over. You can get them for under 9.5 plus 125. So I think that's a pretty good value. Also, sorry, one other thing. The Eagles had very good injury luck last year, and we talked about the offensive and defensive line. Like,
that matters a
lot. One or two
yeah.
things go wrong, and a lot of things change. So I like them for the under. The other thing, you can get them an alternate line for under 8.5 for plus 200, which I think is a really strong line. So I'm fading them, which is a reason that I think Washington could sneak up to 8. But I just don't see either of those teams being very good.
All right. Well, the question then becomes, there has not been a repeat winner in the NFC East in 2004. And that includes 3 Super Bowl champions, by the way. 2 Giants and 1 with the Eagles. So if it's not Dallas, let's say, right? If we're taking the trends, is it the Commanders? Is it the Eagles? Like, who's that team? It's not Washington. So, because again, if Hurts is okay, he's the player he was last year, the Eagles are going to be in the position to do that.
Right.
You know, obviously, health matters a lot. But like, that stuff, the things I talked about matter, right? The Eagles have proved their defense, and they're really good in the trenches.
Yeah.
So, and that number for the Eagles is plus 160, not the best value. But I do think there's one number that I think is worth playing with the Eagles that may not be the under. What do you feel about Jalen Hurts' rushing yards is 675.5.
Huh.
Last year, in 15 games he started, he rushed for 784 yards.
That's pretty good. That seems really low. I wonder why it's that low. Is it, I guess, just people thinking that they're going to protect him a little bit more?
But that's not what their offense is. Like, he's part of that offense now. Like, that's what he is. I like that better than anything else.
I like that. I have a player prop for you, another player prop for you with the Eagles, actually.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it's 6.5. Stand by here. So it's Miles Sanders. His over under for rushing touchdowns. Oh, it's down to 5.5. I really like this one because he had 0 rushing touchdowns last year. Boston Scott led the team in carries inside the 5 by like more than double. He's their goal line back. He was very successful. I think he had 12 carries inside the five or something last year. Wow. Miles Sanders was, I think, fourth on the team or third on the team in terms of who got the most carries inside the five. So Boston Scott's their goal line back. And then Jalen Hurts is their second goal line back. And they just got A.J. Brown. Dallas Goedert's a good red zone tight end. And Miles Sanders has just had a touchdown problem his whole career. So the fact that it's zero.
I'm in for that.
It's juiced down. I think people might have gotten a hold of this prop because now it's juiced down to like minus 155. But I do think that it's a very safe bet.
What's the number out, you said?
It is, I think, five.
I mean, the most he's had, he's gone in three seasons, he's only scored nine touchdowns. He scored 3, 6, and 0 last year.
Yeah.
I like that, actually.
Yeah, when I prepped for this 2 days ago, it was minus. It was under 6.5, and it was about even odds. But now it's under 5.5, and it's minus 155. I still think it's a pretty good bet.
I think it's a good bet too. Put it in the sheet.
Love that.
I'm in on that one. I like that one. I think also again the Hurts. If you look at the numbers, Hurts, I think over. I like the Miles Sanders one better than the Hurts over the rushing over because that, you know, injuries, like. The thing about player props and why overs, I think, are hard is because of injuries, right? Like, an under, you don't ever root for injuries, we mentioned, but under, it cashes if someone gets hurt, right? So that's part of the game.
Can I add one thing here? This is the exact numbers for the Eagles inside the five. Hurts had 13 carries and 7 touchdowns. Boston Scott had 10 carries and 7 touchdowns. And then the next on the roster was Jordan Howard, who had 6. He's not on the team anymore. But then Miles Sanders, he had 5 carries. He netted -5 yards inside the five. No touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a goal line guy.
Not a goal line guy. All right, so let's get to the Cowboys. Look, their win total is 10. Every year, I get suckered into thinking the Cowboys are going to be really good. Because yes. They have a lot of talent.
Since I've known you, I think you've gone over every year.
Yeah. And I think actually we've made a lot of money doing that. But, and I would take it over again because I'm a dummy, but I can't this year, man. Like their win total, but anything postseason success, like anything like that, I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing Super Bowl champions, not doing NFC champions. I can't do it, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, what's your reasoning? I think we're going to have the same ones, but people would rather hear yours.
Their coach.
I mean,
I think I know Dak was hurt a bunch last year, so I certainly think that there's a possibility that he has a comeback kind of season ish. He won't win comeback player of the year, but like a comeback season. And you know, he threw for 4,400 yards last year in a kind of quote unquote bad year. Like, I think that his number, like his passing number, is certainly a play here if we're looking for, you know, Dak Prescott, I mean, Dallas Cowboys. He'll throw for a bunch of yards. But like in the end, like what's in crunch time in the postseason? I don't trust McCarthy and Dak right now at all.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Dallas that, you know, in our mental shorthand of like who they are, we always talk about their offensive line and their wide receivers. And those have been the strengths that have carried them every year, along with Zeke and Dak to some degree. Their wide receiving core right now is CeeDee Lamb, who has been very good, but like I think kind of overrated just based on the fact that he's a Cowboy. Like, he's been good, but he's not Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson or anything. Their number two receiver currently is a guy named Jalen Tolbert, who is a rookie out of South Alabama. He was the offensive player of the year in the Sun Belt. So that's a big drop off from Amari Cooper, who's not, you know, Jerry Rice, but he's obviously like a very capable wide receiver, you know, 1A or 2. So I think that's a big loss. Then you look at the rest of that depth chart. They signed James Washington, but that, you know, Michael Gallup's hurt. They lost Cedric Wilson. Like, those are the kind of guys that Dallas has just always had. So that's a concern. Three of their top four receivers being gone. Tyron Smith is there, but he's missed a lot of games the last couple seasons. They lost Lyle Collins. Connor Williams is gone. They have a first-round rookie from Tulsa who, like, you know, who knows how that's going to pan out. So I think their two biggest strengths have really faded. And then, like, you know, their defense, it came together because of the Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons, right? So Micah Parsons, you know, maybe he'll have another amazing season where he's Lawrence Taylor, or maybe he regresses. And then Trayvon Diggs, who last year, according to all the metrics,
he's have a bad year. We could do like a, if there's like a Trayvon Diggs allowed yard prop, I'd be in for that.
they have a lot of vulnerability on the defense, and all of these like cap sins that they've committed over the years could come back to bite them. I feel like I'm just sort of like giving reasons for why all of these teams suck. One of them has
well,
to
maybe
win.
They do.
But I think that is what's going to happen. Like, all of these teams could suck. I think that's why a lot of bettors love the Giants. Is like, you're just getting the best value on them to win the division, and people are predicting chaos. Yeah. There's not one team I love to win the division. I think Dallas, if I had to pick, I guess I would take Dallas just because they have the best quarterback and, the best probably top-tier talent of this division. Yeah. But it's not great.
So Dak's number is 43-50. I feel comfortable with that, with an over on that play. I think that's less than he even had last year. He was hurt last year. Huh. And he only started 16 of 17 games. And like 2 years ago, remember, he only played five games. He averaged 371 yards per game that season.
Yeah. They had a much better team, though. I mean, they really did. Like, they had a much better
the wide receiver thing is definitely a concern, I think, for an over here. But otherwise, I don't like any other Cowboys thing other than maybe the under for the win total. But I just – give me one.
You're going to hate this. I hate it. But I have to mention that what would you guess Ezekiel Elliott's rushing yards over under is? Just guess.
Well, I mean, it's in the thing, but
875.
That's really low.
That's 52 yards a game. And – Zeke last year played through a partially torn MCL. He still cleared 1,000 yards, and that was with Tony Pollard like having a great season, and now everybody's taking him in their fantasy drafts way too high. You never want to take a running back over. That's like one of our cardinal rules. But even one
that's
season...
That's really low, though. 875.
There was the season where he was suspended for 6 games. That season, he went over 900. So obviously, he was younger, and the offensive line was better.
I like that.
But I feel like if you're going to take an over, like... That's not even that hard to root for. The guy needs to get 60 yards a game.
I like that better than Dak Prescott's number.
Me too. I mean, it's not.
I'm in with that.
It's very like out. Everyone's so out on Zeke. Zeke's not. He's not Adrian Peterson in his prime, but like he's good. Like, I don't know. He should be able to get 900 yards, even if Pollard has a great season.
I'm with you. I'm in on that one. Anything else you like for this division? I think I'm with you. I don't really like a lot in this division. A
lot of player props, which is not usually our strong suit, but
the AFC East is where I like a lot on one team. Like, I feel like we're going to fill up our bucket on the team that their fans despise me. Probably all of them.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Matt, before we get to the AFC East, light NFC East wagering, we'll maybe get a little bit heavier. So we have five wagers I think we like here. Like Saquon, under 7.5 touchdowns. The Giants, you like Giants under 7 wins still. Terry McLaurin, over 1,000.5 yards receiving. Miles Sanders, under 5.5 touchdowns. And Zeke, over 875.5 yards. We have $1,000 to spend here. I don't think we're going to go any higher than $1,000 for this group. And we actually don't have to spend $1,000. I think we can roll it over. I think that's part of our rules too. I just feel like what do you want to do? The Saquon one I feel good about. So What are you thinking?
Yeah, I was going to ask what you feel best about. I think I feel best about Saquon and Zeke and Sanders.
Yes, I was about to say, yeah. So you want to put like, what do you want to put on those?
Should like we
200
do,
each?
Yeah, and then do so. Or we could do like 250 on each and then do a little less on
That
the
works.
Other two. All right.
Yeah, so 250.
250 on Saquon under 7.5 touchdowns. 250 on Miles Sanders under 5.5 rushing touchdowns. These are both rushing touchdowns. Zeke.
You basically have 125 over, left for each one.
Yep. Zeke over 875.5 rushing. And then we're going to put 125 on McLaurin over 1,000 yards and Giants under 7.
Yeah.
That's a nice slate. Yeah. That's very modest.
I like it.
We
yeah.
did go over the top there.
Oh, we did not go over the top there. All right. You ready to go to the AFC East?
I sure am, Jeff. Let's go.
All right. I love the Bills over 11.5 wins. This feels like a no-brainer to me. This is their year to do this or not. Because this is the year, if you're going to catch the Chiefs, it's this season, right? They have to do it this year. And they know that. And they've gone all in that philosophy. Dude, they were so up and down last year and still obviously had a chance to beat the Chiefs and go to the championship game. Like, they're in a spot, I think, where they have got to get this done. And the best team typically in a conference wins 13 or now 14 games. And they're the best team right now in the AFC conference. I think Buffalo is an over. The juice is minus 140. Don't care. Over 11.5. Even division champions at minus 225, I'm fine with. I really think this team is going to do it all together. And to put it, like, again, last year, guys, they were good with the highest variance offense in the NFL. That means 1 week they were good, 1 week they were bad. To me, I think this year they put it together on offense. I'm a little concerned that Brian Daboll's not there. I get that. But they're very talented. They added Von Miller. They drafted well. I'm in on Buffalo winning 13 games.
So I didn't totally have a feel for this number until you started making this argument. And now I think I am willing to embrace the contrarian angle here. The first thing, yes, you're right. This is the year. This is the year before, I think, right? Like, Josh Allen's big contract kicks in and like then the cap changes. The thing that I think is worth mentioning, to me, it feels a little bit strange that this number is so low. I think that it's like a little bit fishy because everyone is so sky high on the Bills because I think the reason everyone's high on them is because they almost beat the Chiefs. Like, I feel like everyone's memory of the Bills is like, man, they should have made the Super Bowl instead of the Bengals, like, or the Rams, I guess, like, even though that wouldn't obviously work. But I just feel like they got like a little bit of a pass for losing that game because it was so awesome and they were so good.
Yeah. Yeah. But remember too, they were very injured on defense that like they're healthier on defense this year. They should be healthier on defense this year.
I mean, maybe, but like they didn't do a ton to address like some of the weaknesses on the team, like beyond, you know, they drafted the corner from Florida, Elam, in case White goes down again. But like the secondary, like, still is a little bit of a concern. Granted, they play in an easy division, which we'll get to. But the thing that also is a little bit worrisome is, like, listen to this schedule coming out of the gate. They go at the Rams in week one, home to the Titans, at Miami, okay. Then they go at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Green Bay. Like, that's a pretty brutal start to your season. It gets a little bit lighter after that. But the other thing that's just kind of weird to me, you mentioned Daboll. Like, on one hand, the Giants are getting credit to get 7 wins. And the Bills aren't getting dinged at all for losing Daboll. Like, which is it? Is this guy awesome or does it not matter? Like, I can't figure out what exactly I'm supposed to read out of Daboll here. I just think that no one is off of Buffalo this year. So there's part of me that just thinks, like, is it worth being a little contrarian just to be contrarian? Because they're the Super Bowl favorites, Jeff. They are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They lost in the second round.
So who wins the most games AFC conference this season?
I mean, you could make the case for many teams. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Ravens. Like, you could make a lot of cases.
Yeah, you can make that case, but I think Buffalo has the best case right now to make.
More than your Kansas City Chiefs.
At the moment, yes. I think that the Chiefs, I still bet they're over as well, but we'll get to the AFC West another time. Okay, so is division champs better or minus 225?
it's just not a good bet. Like, it's just – that's just not a good bet. Taking the over 11.5, if you're really, really in on them, I can get behind because it's not that high of a number. 12-5 for a team that good does not feel crazy.
But again, like you mentioned, why is the number not higher? No number's higher. I think Tampa Bay is 11.5 too. Like, there's no number that's higher.
Yeah.
And that's just what the numbers are at.
It's because everyone is betting Buffalo. That's scary.
Yeah, but I
– tell me I'm wrong.
Unless Jones – I think they're just really good, man. And I think they've been building to this point, and they kind of know this is their year to get this done. And I just really think they're going to win a lot of football games. I'm very high on them.
You mean you can get under 11.5 for plus 120, and it's like they could still go 11-5. Josh Allen could miss two games, and they go 11-5. Like, I don't love going over. Yeah. It's your podcast. I'm here to be the devil on your shoulder and remind you that the teams that everyone loves at the preseason never do well.
That's not true.
Except the Chiefs every year.
and Tampa Bay with Tom Brady.
And weirdly,
the Packers the Packers keep winning. Like, some of these good teams, man, just they stay good for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing 11.5 over. I know. Everyone else is on it too. I'm not betting in their Super Bowl numbers or AFC numbers. The thing that with some of these favorites is, well, think about this. If the Super Bowl number is plus 600 right now, right? If they lose week one to the Rams, it goes to what, plus 700? They start 1-2, goes to plus 800, plus 900. Like, you get a much better number at any point this season than you can right now. Allen MVP is plus 700. If they win as many games as I think they win, he's kind of up for that award. I don't feel great about it. Von Miller sack leader, I would not do that as well.
No.
Allen leads the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns, no. I don't feel great about those. Allen MVP is not a bad choice. If I think they're going to be that good, he's going to win the MVP. So, but plus 700, I mean, who are your MVP favorites?
It's a hard one to bet before the season. I mean, Allen is the obvious choice. I'm very in on the Lamar Jackson comeback year. I think that he's an interesting
I am too, but not for MVP.
Yeah. I haven't really looked at MVP yet. Let me take a just glance at some of the odds here. I mean, the thing is like, if this were this easy, like, everyone would make money doing it. Like,
we've made a lot of money last year. We should trust ourselves.
I like Lamar at plus 2,000. I didn't realize he was that low.
I don't think he'll win the MVP, but I think he'll have a great season. Josh Allen's rushing yards for this year, last year he rushed for 763 yards. His number this year is set at 650. That feels actually think that under. So he's rushed for 631, 510, 521, and 763. I kind of think the under 650 for Josh Allen rushing is appropriate as well.
Yeah, so that's a good angle to explore, because in no world do the Bills win over the long term by having Josh Allen run a lot. And that was something that I think they kind of figured out after he got going in the middle of the season. Like, at the end of the season, those Bills running backs, mainly Singletary, like, really picked it up. And then when they got to the playoffs, like, they had a real rushing attack outside of Allen. So I have a feeling they just can't let that guy take as many hits as he's taken. Like, the Cam Newton thing will happen. So I am with you on that.
So Allen, it's 550. So never mind. It's not 650.
Oh, that's tough.
Well, we're out on that one. So I think we're good with Buffalo here, at least for now, over 11.5 for now.
A player prop for you. What about Gabe Davis? His touchdowns are set at 7.5. And this is, again, I feel like everyone just has been watching this Chiefs-Bills game, like, since the season ended, nonstop. Because Gabe Davis had, like, the best game of all time in that game. Like, I get that. But in the course of a season, are we really saying that that guy – are we sure he's their number two? Like, they went out, they signed Jamison Crowder. This Isaiah McKenzie guy is getting all the buzz in training camp. Like, Dawson Knox is still there. They drafted another running back. Devin Singletary was good. They still think Zach Moss is going to be getting touchdowns. Like, are we sure Gabe Davis is, like, really going to get 8 touchdowns this season? I feel like that's a good contrarian to play, is to go under there. I think everyone's just sort of projecting that he's going to just be awesome. I'm not sure that makes sense.
I like it, man. Very, very contrarian. What's it at?
It's 7.5. And, like, if you look at the other, like, Cooper Kupp's 11.5, but, like, CeeDee Lamb is set at 7.5. Allen Robinson's 7.5. like, these are like really good receivers who score a lot pretty regularly, and his is much higher than most people. So I think it's pretty good under.
He only had 6 last year. Oh, I like that. So let's put that in the notes there.
Stephon Diggs is at 8.5. It's like, come on.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting
play. I like that. I like that. Bringing the Nuggets in. All right, let's get to the next team in the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins. Oh, geez.
What a confusing team they are.
I mean, I think that some sort of under for Tyreek Hill has to be in play here, whether it's touchdowns or yards. Probably touchdowns feels the better play here. Touchdowns is 7.5, I believe, and his yards are just over 1,000, 1,025. He's had years. He had 6 touchdowns in 2016. He had 7 in 2017, 7 in 2019, 9 last season. So he's not been a big touchdown guy. I mean, of course, Kansas City has many different options for that, but so does Miami, right? They have other weapons as well. I think under 7.5 touchdowns minus 118 is a play here for Hill.
I think that's a pretty good play. If only because
going to run the ball a lot.
They're going to run the ball a lot. And like their roster is just so weird. Like their offense, they're like the opposite of the Ravens and the Eagles, where like they're going to be a running team because they have 4 running backs who like all have been in RB1 before, right? Like it's Michelle, it's Edmonds, it's Mostert, it's Gaskin. Like they have all these guys. And then they have like the fastest team ever. Like with Hill, with Waddle, with Mostert, like they're going to fly. And I think that they're going to be a team that's like, it's, you know how when teams play Baltimore in the middle of the season and they have no clue how to play them because it's like yes. week 11 and they just played like the Packers and the Chiefs and now they have to like stop the wing tee and the blitz every play. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen with the Dolphins. It's like everyone's going to just be like, huh, like what are we supposed to do here? And they're just going to be super weird and creative. And I think that they're a team that like, I hate that their total's 9. I wish it was like 8.5 or 7.5. Like, I do think they're going to surprise some people because like they're going to bring in the goofy Shanahan offense. Like they have a pretty decent defense. Like they signed Teron Armstead. Like they're going to figure out that offensive line, which was terrible. And like, I know that I feel like I'm not a Tua fan, but I don't think I'm as out on him as everyone else seems to be. Like, I think that he could possibly be competent. And I feel like no one is sort of pricing that into what the Dolphins can do. If he's okay, they could be a playoff team.
So do you like Tua passing yards over?
What's his number?
I like the Tyreek Hill under 7.5 touchdowns for the Dolphins.
I'm into that. I'm fine with that. Let's see what Tua's number looks like. Tua over 38.50. So per game, that is 226 yards a game. Like, I think that is a pretty safe bet.
What, the under or the over?
The over.
But look, dude, if they win games when he throws for 180 yards, yeah, they'll like totally be happy with that. Like that's the issue with. I'm gonna look at Jimmy Garoppolo last season. So Jimmy G, how many yards did he average?
He would have to average, you said, for Tua? 38.50 divided by 17. He'd have to average 226 yards a game. And your number for Hill is just receiving touchdowns, right? It's not all-purpose touchdowns.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I like that. He could get
so touchdowns. Jimmy G averaged last year, 254 yards per game.
Yeah, so that's comfortably, that's like way under what Tua would need.
Say the number again. I'm gonna put it in here.
I keep deleting it from my calculator. 226 per game, which is 38.50 total.
38.50. Okay, I'm putting in the notes here.
When you look at the Dolphins last year, it was Waddle, who was unbelievable in a pretty tough-looking offense. Gesicki was, like, fun, but he didn't have a great season. You add Hill, you add these running backs. Their running game was awful last year. And they added Connor Williams and Teron Armstead. Like, they should be better on offense, especially with, you know, if Mike McDaniel is as good as people think he might be.
So 38.50 puts him above, like, for, if you look at like last year, puts him above Jimmy Garoppolo, below Matt Ryan.
If you believe in Tua at all,
I think that Hill under touchdowns is the way to go in this one.
I would say okay. I mean, we can also
I put Tua in there just to have it in there, but yeah,
you can also do Tua over 25.5 passing touchdowns for plus money, which is not very many. But that one feels a little iffy because they're going to pound it down there.
I mean, but Jimmy Garoppolo had only one. I mean, he had 27-20 in his two full seasons in San Francisco. Like they're not. That's not what really they do. That's why I like the Tyreek Hill under. That's just not really what this offense is. If you kind of base it off of what we've seen with Mike McDaniel in the past with Shanahan. One more thing too on the receiving. So last season the Niners. Like Debo only had 6 receiving touchdowns last year.
Right.
He led the team in receiving touchdowns. Him and Kittle was 6. I think Tyreek Hill under 7.5 is the way to go here.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't hate Miami to make the playoffs plus 140. That's a pretty interesting number. They basically, you know, the AFC is just so loaded, but if they do get 9 wins, like, you know,
here's my issue with like some of that is, so Tua is at what, the 10th best quarterback in the conference? Like, it's just hard for me to wager on.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean? And a new coach, like, I think it's hard for me to make that wager.
Going in my head. It's like, yeah, that feels fair.
Yeah.
All right. I think, in my opinion, the Dolphins are the most tricky team to figure out for me. Like, they could be really good. Like, they could be one of those teams that are so surprising because of just the unique flavor of their team. Or they could be trash.
Certainly, yeah.
Their range of outcomes is like massive, I think.
100%. Yes. And it all depends on two, in my opinion. All right, let's get to the New England Patriots. Holy hell. You have someone running the offense, I don't know who, and an offensive line coach that's never done it before at that level. I really don't like to fade Bill Belichick. I don't think you make money doing that.
No.
But I don't know how they win over 8.5 games.
I know.
Like, have you seen the reports at training camp about their offense right now? Like, they can't complete forward passes. They can't run the football. I have to go under 8.5 here. I don't know any other way to fade them that has a good number. And this is juice the over, too. I mean, obviously, Bill Belichick, I think, is one of the best coach ever. But, I under.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. I mean, I really thought about this one a lot. The thing is, like, their season starts in a pretty interesting way. Week 1, they go to Miami, which is always where they lose. They're 1-4 there in the last 5 seasons. Then you go through the rest of their beginning schedule year. They then go at Pittsburgh, Baltimore, at Green Bay. Then they do get lucky. They get Brissett and the Bears, get Brissett for the Browns at week 6 and 7. But then at the end of the year, Minnesota, Buffalo, Arizona, Vegas, Cincinnati, Miami, Buffalo. They're going to go through 2 gauntlets in this season. And I feel like they always have a cake schedule just for whatever reason. But they could have a couple of big-time meltdowns. And if they start slow with this offense out of training camp, like, they might not recover. If they start 1-4 with losses to, you know, Baltimore and Green Bay and Miami, like, that's they're not going to dig out of that.
Yeah.
Having said all that, you know, like, it does kind of feel like right now is the lowest value we'll ever get for the Patriots. I'm with you. I think they stink. There's nobody on their team who I'm like, man, I would love to have him on the Commanders, or, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have anybody who I think is like so standout at any spot, really, other than the coach.
Matt, right now they have Matt Patricia calling plays.
Yeah, but like, who cares?
And they have
Bill Belichick's kid calling the defense. It just, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Like,
that's, it matters at all. But they've had Josh McDaniels for like 15 years, buddy. Like, I think that does matter. And they have Joe Judge coaching offensive line. Like, what are we doing?
The Scarnaccia, like, thing, I think matters more than the
McDaniels. We have to fade them this year. And I hate doing it, but like, I cannot. And we don't have to play this, but that's the only wager I feel comfortable making on this team is under 8.5 wins.
Let's do it. Fuck it, man. I would love to root for it. Like, they suck. It's
plus 105, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, well, maybe you take them to make the playoffs. Like, what are they, plus 160? Like, that seems just like a crazy number. But, like, at some point, they're going to have to lose some games. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. Like, Patriots fans, like, you can't win 10 games every single year. Maybe this is the year. Their team stinks. The only thing we're doing is saying, like, well, Bill Belichick's amazing. But, like, whatever. Greg Popovich has been losing for a while. Like, maybe it's time.
I'm with you, man. I think this is the year. Gabe's going to be so happy that we did this. Even though I think he hates Tom Brady more than anything else. All right, so Pat's under 8.5 wins. Let's do it. All right, one more team left, the Jets. What am I going to tell you? Okay, this brings up an interesting topic. So we were talking the other day on Twitter about a month ago because I saw that Zach Wilson, they announced, has the most tickets for passing yardage leader this season, okay? And it's, plus 2,000, okay? And I'm going to give you a PSA on this. Matt and I might differ on this a little bit, but because I have no problem laying juice if I think the wager is worth it, especially like I said, I bet Jacksonville last year minus 400 not make the playoffs. And I might do that with the Lions this year, by the way, no matter how much I like Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks was great last night, by the
way.
It's like back. If Dan Campbell brought it back, everyone.
Up, downs.
Is that just because you see a big number after the plus does not mean there's value in that wager, right? That doesn't mean there's value. The value is how to win some money, okay? Matt, if I told you you could bet $5 on Zach Wilson winning the passing title at plus 2,000 or $5 at Pat Mahomes at plus 600, which one provides you more value?
Absolutely, Mahomes.
Mahomes! Because you have a chance to win that. You have a chance to win that wager. Yeah. The payout is 6-1. It's 6-1 still. You're making six times your money instead of just taking $5 and wiping your ass with it and throwing it away because you bet on Zach Wilson. Like, the value is, can you win the wager or not? It's not just throwing money on anything because there's a big number after the plus. I don't get it, Matt. It's one thing about gambling culture. I think that's taken over now that everyone does gambling. Like, we kind of got, like, in the early phase of this, right, with Action Network. We're like, and Chad, I love Chad because he kind of taught us these principles, right? Like, the right wager is the winning wager, right? And I don't get people that just throw money away because it has, quote, unquote, value. There's no value in betting Zach Wilson to lead the NFL in passing yards. What are we doing, people?
That's one of my favorite of your takes I've ever been on the receiving end of. Having said all of that.
If you take them at some stupid plus money during this year, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Having said all of that, what about the Jets to make the playoffs at plus
100? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No chance in hell. No chance. I
swear to God, I prepared this argument for this exact take, making the exact argument that you explained is an idiotic one to make. But when I looked through all of the to make the playoffs yeses, the Texans are plus 1,600, which is incredible. The Falcons are plus 800, and then the Jets were plus 700. And I was like, come on, there's got to be a way that they could just get to 9. Like, what if, like, the entire rest of the AFC gets COVID for 6 months? Like, maybe then they'd have a chance. But I don't know, man. I can't even make the argument. I was going to do it, like, sort of trolling just for the content, but...
I think I went first with my rant. If you had gone first with your rant, maybe that would have. I had to get it off my chest.
I gotta say,
get off my chest.
Can I just say though? I actually think the Jets might be. If they're not going to be good, but they are going to be fun. They'll be feisty. I think Zach Wilson came into a brutal situation last year. One of the worst offensive lines. Wasn't prepared for the NFL. Their offense, they really invested in it. It's the Becton thing stinks. But, people forget just because they had such a great draft. Like, they got the top corner in the draft. They got maybe the top receiver in the draft at number 10. They drafted a great pass rusher, and they drafted Breece Hall. Like, they're going to be one of those. Every year there's one of those young teams that's just, like, too dumb to know that they're bad. And they could just end up being kind of good.
So one wager that I did make on my own so far, we're making these wagers kind of as we go, depending on what sports hooks we can find, is I took Breece Hall to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. A good friend of mine, I don't know what it's at now. I can look it up very quickly. I got it at, plus 760 right now. That's what I got at Offensive Rookie of the Year. They're going to run his ass like as much as they can. And they're going to use him as much as possible. And he's in a better situation than Kenneth Walker is with that offensive line. Now, Mekhi Becton's hurt. But I think Breece Hall, his ability on third down as well to be a third down back for them, I just think he's the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And the number is...
plus seven.
I don't know what the... So basically the number I got, I would put... as we're doing it, like, that feels like a good, quote-unquote, long shot wager.
Yeah, I'm down for that. We do, I think... while you're right that you shouldn't just waste money on asinine things, like, I think you do have to throw some darts at some things you actually believe yes. in. That's part of my.
And I think this is, I think this is one where I do believe in Breece Hall. Again, a buddy of mine called me, goes, "Look, dude, I'm just telling you. I know the Jets. I've talked to them. They're gonna run the shit out of Breece Hall, and they're gonna pass the ball to him, and he's gonna be a big part of their offense."
Huh. He's wow. This is a good number from producer Hank here. Over 1,000 yards and 8.5 touchdowns is plus 1,100. That's a really good number.
And I also think that with the quarterbacks, the rookie quarterbacks this year probably not playing, it turns to, you know, to really to running backs to win that award, right? The Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Huh. That's a really good call. That's a really good call. I think I might wager some of my own on that. That's a nice one.
So all right. So for the AFC East. Now we got done laughing. My cheeks are hurting. We have Bills over 11.5, minus 140. We have Gabe Davis, 7.5 touchdowns, right? 7.5 was the number?
Yeah, under, yep.
Under. What was the odds on that? I don't have the number for that one.
Stand by. Keep reading. I'll find out.
Hill, under 7.5 touchdowns, which is Hill and Davis never have the same number. Minus 118. Hall, rookie of the year, Breece Hall, plus 750. And Pat's under win total plus 105. How do you want to? I mean, I feel like for Hall, we just put what, 50 on that, 100 on that one? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that. Davis is minus 115.
So how much for Hall you think? Or you want to wait till we get to the end, see what we're doing here with all these other ones?
I mean, we can. We do have our little extra budget here. So why don't we do 100 on that? Or no, right. Hold on. Let's see.
Okay, how about we start with the ones you like the most out of these ones?
Yeah, well, I think I like that the most. I mean, betting the Patriots under, if our standard unit is 200, why don't we do that there? The Bills, I like Hill too. I like both of the touchdown unders.
We could just do 200 for all of them.
Yeah, that works.
Well, I feel like, no, well, okay, let's do Hall 100 for that one. Let's add $50 to two other wagers on this board. So how about the two unders for wide receivers? We do 250.
Sure, that works.
Okay.
You want to recap the AFC East?
Yes. So Bills over 11.5 wins for 200. Davis, 7.5 touchdowns under Gabe Davis for the Bills at 250. That's minus 115. Hill under 7.5 touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, that is, and minus 118 for 250. Breece Hall, rookie of the year. Again, down year for quarterbacks. Look at the wide receivers. Is Chris Olave, is Drake London winning this award? Is Dotson winning it? No, it's Breece Hall, guys. Plus 750. Put a hunter on that one. And then we have Pats under 8.5 wins for 200. That's the one, I think, the one that's really riskier. We're basically fading Bill Belichick, which is really not good.
No, it's not great.
We have our wagers for the AFC. We have 10 wagers so far. We're off to a good start. I feel good about these, Matt. How do you feel, buddy?
I feel good. I feel like it's interesting. We talk about over-unders privately all the time, but we ended up going with all these player props, which
I think the market. I think the total market has gone just better.
It has.
People just cover it so much now that it's really hard to feel like there's a lot of an edge.
And to that point, like, I feel like these are two really strange divisions. Like, there's the Bills, who are the only team out of eight teams that I feel like is a very good team. The other seven teams, you could tell me that none of them make the playoffs, or like three of them make the playoffs, and any outcome would be possible. Like, I think that there are very unusual two divisions. And
agreed.
Yeah, there's a lot of stinky quarterbacks in the mix that we just talked about.
All right, buddy. And then we did it.
did it.
We're in. You didn't mention
The Jets plus 700 to make the playoffs thing. You neglected to mention.
Yeah, we're not doing that. I think I made that very clear. It's not happening. Just don't do it, everybody. Man, PSA from Jeff Schwartz.
I was so excited to make that case for you. Just all over it.
Just done.
I couldn't look you in the
eye. Not happening. All right, everyone. Take care. We'll be back next week with two episodes as we ramp up the NFL season. Hopefully make you guys some money. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peace.